This morning, we're going to take a few moments just to look at the Bible verse. It talks about strength once again. This is wonderful to know that the Lord gives to us the strength that we need in our life, all the things. Page 10, if you need help. 37, 39. Okay, well, let's take a look at this. But the salvation of the righteous, let's try this again. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And this is what we're going to be reading this morning a little bit of from Psalm 37. And this text will become a little bit clearer as we try and read it and apply it. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word given to us to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to face the life that we have on this earth with courage and with much hope and faith in our hearts. We pray for your blessings as we take time to read your word. Open up this word once again to our hearts too. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes you read magazines, you read articles, and they will talk about how in life there are the haves and the have-nots. You know, so depending upon the articles you read, they will divide the world into the rich and the poor, and of course the in-between. And again, you see this kind of description of how life works. That the people who make up the world. How does the Bible see the world at large, generally? And the world in the scriptures is literally divided into the righteous and the wicked. So there's a different perspective entirely. There are the righteous and they are the wicked. And of course, the Lord watches over both. Well, let's take a look at the number of references that you will see in Psalm 37 about the wicked. Right? And there are many. So we're going to pick our way through the text. And then you see one grouping, obviously, the wicked. Right? And then, as a countermeasure, we're going to take another look and the same psalm, and we're going to see another grouping among the upright, the righteous, the blameless, different descriptions, but describing the same category of people. Well, let's take a look. Okay? Here are words of advice accordingly. Okay? So there is a mention of the evildoers, differently described, but meaning the same thing. Okay, here we go. Verse 1, the evildoers. Okay, workers of iniquity. Okay, and the advice given, don't worry about them. Don't be envious, don't fret. It's a matter of time before they are going to be cut down. And this is how it is. They will wither as a green herb. Now, go on further to look at this thing here. Verse 7, do not fret of because of him who prospers in his way, the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Okay, can you see this? So sometimes the wicked seem to be successful. They get away with doing nonsense, and they seem to be very well off at the end of the day. Well, that's the wicked. Don't envy them. Don't fret either. That's the wicked. Okay, verse 9, evildoers shall be cut off. Okay. Verse 10, yet a little while, the wicked shall be no more. In fact, you will look carefully in this place, but it shall be no more. Now, what is the wicked like? Verse 12 downwards, the wicked plots against the just, gnashes at him with his teeth. Can you see this? And this is the wicked have drawn the sword, verse 14, have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright conduct. Okay? But the sword shall enter their own heart. They live by the sword, they die by the sword. And then we read in verse 17, the arms of the wicked shall be broken. Go on more about the wicked. Verse 20, the wicked shall perish, the enemies of the Lord. Right? Like the splendor of the meadows shall vanish, into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows, does not repay. Verse 21, right? And this is how the description goes from there. Verse 28, the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 32, the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Verse 34, when the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. The psalmist testifies of this. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. And then the last verse, 38, the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the future of the wicked shall be cut off. Now, that's one description of the wicked. Right? So this is how the scriptures divide people. Either we belong to the category of the wicked, the evildoers, the description at the end. Not great things to read. Right? Now we have the counterpart of it. Here would be those who trust the Lord. Well, let's take a look at who these people are. Okay? Now, this is something that we want to look at in contrast. Verse 9. Those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 11. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's why the blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Can you see this? And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Well, this is how it begins. Who are the upright? Who are the righteous? They're meek in contrast to the wicked, because the wicked will be plotting and scheming and doing cunning things, but the righteous, they will wait upon the Lord instead. Well, let's take a look for the description of the person who is righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So inheritance in verse 9, inherit the earth in verse 11, verse 18, the Lord says inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. So we have an obvious contrast. What are the righteous people like? Now, this is interesting to see, right? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Same idea. Though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Now that is what he has seen about the righteous. In verse 26, we read, he, the righteous, he is ever merciful, he lends, his descendants are blessed. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. His tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Right? So we have a description of the righteous in contrast. And the contrast is very stark. What the wicked, the evildoers, their wicked iniquity, what they are like, what they will do, one segment. The other side, that is the Lord. And the righteous, they are merciful, they are kind, they are meek, they are gracious, they help people, And the distinction is very, very, very clear. Now, the theme of what of these 2 months is about strength. What will the Lord do for the person who is righteous? Now, that is something we need to look at very, very carefully, right? So what are the righteous supposed to do as they practice righteousness? Okay, so we're going to have, see, we have to be very careful. There are 2 things we could look at. One is called reactive, a reactive idea. And the word is do not fret. Don't be envious of the person who seems to be rich. That's reactive. So the word do not fret, verse 1, don't be envious, that's there. Verse 7, do not fret, it only causes harm. How come the person who is wicked seems to be buying new cars every year? Don't be envious. Right? Don't. What about the righteous? I don't have anything. Or even bicycle, you don't have. But it, no, it's all right. You can rent your yellow bike, your orange bike. So you don't have to worry about it. So this is something. Don't worry about them. Don't. So this is reactive. Avoid reactive responses. You know what to do? Be proactive. Watch this. The proactive idea is absolutely wonderful. Okay? So this is a proactive approach versus a reactive approach. Verse 1, reactive. Verse 3 and downward. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't worry. He will give you the desires of your heart. Take a proactive approach. That is a far better thing to do. Commit your way to the Lord. Verse 5. Trust in Him. He shall bring it to pass. Okay? He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. So be proactive. So what shall I do when I see wickedness and all the bad things that are in the world? Take a proactive approach. Trust, dwell, delight, commit. These are the things we can and we must do. Okay? And it's wonderful to note that the steps of the good men are ordered by the Lord. Okay? So now wait on the Lord, keep His way, verse 34, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. So that's a wicked described. That's a righteous described, plus what he should do proactively. Now, one more part to look at. What about the Lord? What would he do with concerning the wicked? What will he do concerning the righteous? Well, we read very clearly. The righteous and the wicked, they will be quite different stories entirely. As far as the wicked is concerned, they will perish. They may rise up in power today, but they won't stay forever, and it will be gone. No matter how big a tree they become, it will crash, and it will die sooner or later. I think this is something that we are going to trust the Lord in. Now, what does the Lord do for the righteous? And this is where there is such an uplift to the heart. Be encouraged. Stay being righteous. Let's take a look at what the Lord, He will do. Okay, let's see. This is absolutely wonderful. Okay, verse 4. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Isn't it wonderful to be able to know what the Lord is able to do? You trust the Lord, He will bring the desires of your heart to pass. Okay? And then we see this in verse 5 as well. Trust, you commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring your righteousness as the light. Now, it doesn't mean that every plan you make is going to succeed. But if you are planning to be righteous, He will bring that to pass. And your righteousness will be as clear and as bright as the noonday. Now that is uplifting to the heart. Absolutely. Okay? So this is important for us. What the Lord will do. Let's try and see what he will do as well next. Okay? Verse 18, we read, the Lord knows the days of the upright. Okay, this is, and it's so wonderful, the word idea of to know. It's not just an acknowledgement. It literally describes the idea God knows the details of the life of the righteous. In what detail? Look at in verse 23, we see. The steps of a good man is literally, they are ordered by the Lord, delights in his way. Now we see this very clearly in the life of Joseph, in the book of Genesis, and you see this very clearly. It seems that his life was messed up. Sold as a slave, became a prisoner. What can you get out of it? Well, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it was there in prison that he came to the attention of the Pharaoh. And within a few months, you watch him, Pharaoh promotes him to the highest position ever. The steps of the good man, of the righteous man, ordered by the Lord. You can't see the order clearly, but it's there. And our part is to see. The Lord will bring to pass our righteousness. Two, he will order our footsteps, and that is uplifting because he knows us, because we delight in his way. Okay? Now, this is another verse, verse 24. What will the Lord do? The Lord upholds him. That's another thing the Lord will do. Can you see? The Lord will uphold him with his hand. He may fall, but the Lord will lift him up. I think that is absolutely wonderful to take note of. Okay? Now, we go on further to see what else the Lord, verse 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. There will be people who will condemn you, people who will judge you, people who will say bad things against you. You know what? The Lord is not going to do that. You see what the Lord, he will do? He will not leave him in his hand. He will not condemn him. Well, how wonderful it is. Right? Now, what else will the Lord do? In verse 34, he shall exalt you to inherit the land. See, inheritance is something the Lord will give. He will inherit the earth. Don't worry about it. And he will exalt you. He will lift you up. Well, that is an absolutely uplifting thing to read. So we have the wicked. That way will perish. Obviously, the conclusion is don't choose the way of the wicked, the way of the unjust, the way of the unrighteous. Right? Here is the way of the righteous, and it seems that he is less well taken care of on this earth. The wicked seem to be the rich ones, the righteous ones seem to be the one relatively. Don't worry about that. Look at the end result. They will inherit the earth. Their descendants will be blessed. The Lord will uphold him. The Lord will keep him. See, so these are the absolutely wonderful ways. So proactively trust the Lord, delight in him, commit your ways to him, and then just exercise that faith in the Lord. Now, let's go on to what we want to focus on. Mark the blameless man. Observe the upright. The future of that man is peace. There we go, right? The future of the wicked, pieces. The future of the person who waits upon the Lord, peace. And I think that's just absolutely wonderful to look at. Now, look at verse 39 downwards. And this is absolutely, now, this is where, again, here we draw so much encouragement. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. So the deliverance from problems, difficulties, don't worry. The Lord knows how to bring about salvation for the righteous. And besides the salvation, look at what else he will do. In verse 39, he is their strength in the time of trouble. Will there be problems? Will there be difficulties? Whether there will be challenges? The answer is yes. But the righteous may be very sure of this one thing. The Lord knows the days of the just. The Lord will uphold him. The Lord will deliver him. The Lord will save him. You know what else he will do? He will be their strength in time of trouble. None of these things are available to the wicked. None of these promises that God has given were ever applicable to the unjust, to the unrighteous. God will not be there for them. And you will see, it will fill with problems and difficulties, and they get into worse problems all the time. But the meek, the righteous, the just, the blameless, the upright, you name them. There are different ways of describing them. You watch. This is what the Lord promised he will do for them. Salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And when there is a need for help, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and he will save them. And they, because they trust in him. See, again here, we go back to this idea of what we need to do proactively. What are the things we need to do? And so we go back to the thing here, again here. So there is the wicked described. There's the righteous in contrast described, right? And there is the Lord's part. And the Lord's part becomes very, very precious. But this is something that we need to do as people who belong to the Lord, people who are righteous, people who walk with him. These are things that we must consider. I think it's very important. One key word is the word trust that comes up again and again. Trust, verse 3, verse 5, and we see the word trust again, trust in him. Okay? So this is important for us to understand and appreciate. What does it really, really, you know? So we come to the last part of it in verse 40. Because they trust in him. And that is not easy. Right? It's really, really not easy because we see so many challenges in life. Reactively, we get angry, we get upset, we want to react. Don't. The moment you see the whole idea of reacting come up, stop. Learn one big word, trust. Not an easy word to practice in by any means, and yet most necessary. Trust in the Lord, verse 3, trust in the Lord in verse 5, and then last part of it, trust in the Lord. Okay, now this is absolutely important. What does trust really, really entail? And I think this is very important for us. It is being able to say, I commit everything to you. Which you see here very, very clearly. Commit your way to the Lord, verse 5. The expression of trust is when you can, I am going to commit my present, I'm going to commit my troubles, I'm going to commit my trials, I'm going to commit my ways, I'm going to commit my future to the Lord. And watch what happens. See, this is our part in faith. This is the way we ought to respond. So we need to commit, you know, to ourselves to the Lord. Okay, now we go on further. What else do we know? One of the greatest challenges is to learn how to delight ourselves in the Lord. And the word delight is not a word that many people are, you know, actually appreciate. Sometimes you appreciate it when you see in other people and you see it differently. I was once at a shopping center and I was using the restroom, and there was a person who was there in front of me. He didn't have very much hair, I must tell you. He had a little tuft. You know what the tuft is? T-U-F-T. It's a little tuft. And he stood there at the mirror, delighting in the tuft. I couldn't figure it out. So he took his comb, and it was not a small comb, it was a fairly large comb. And he would stick it out. You never seen those combs that stick out in a pocket there? And he'd go down there, and he combs it up. He looks at it. Nope. So he, there's a water, he combs it to his left. Now, it's a tuft. There isn't very much to go. So I watch him. I needed to use the wash, you know, the wash bin, but couldn't because he was taking up all the space there. There were only three, but standing in the middle, he blocked off everybody else. I was waiting to see what he had left. You know what? Nothing happened again. He didn't like it. You know, he shifted to the right. So, you know, left and right and up and down. I wanted to say, Uncle, hello. You know, nothing is going to happen. What else can I, how many ways can I? But he did like the, finally, he decided that was what he wanted, which was the first one. Next, he must dress himself. He pulled his shirt, See, men can be very vain. You see, this is what we mean by delight. For some reason, he found special joy, delight, left and right, and up and down, and then back again to left. And there wasn't very much to talk about. One way or the other, when the water dries up, you know what? It's nothing to look at. See, to delight is, you know, it may seem like it's nothing. You know, some people are like, what are you doing? Well, I'm delighting myself in the Lord. What is that? It may seem like it's nothing, but it's still a lot. It is trust. It is committing. It is delighting. You know, so this is the way we've chosen. We've chosen the way of righteousness. And we are going to delight in it. We're going to stay with it. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to commit ourselves. That is how we should go practicing our faith in the Lord. And that is what the Lord looked at. See, it's not just a cursory look at the scriptures. It's delighting in it. It's not just taking the Lord. It's just making effort. Let me delight myself in the Lord and His Word in the ways that He wants me to go. And that is what the Lord will do for the righteous. So the righteous is not a person who just simply says, I believe I'm righteous. It's not that. It expresses itself in whether we are trusting the Lord, whether we are committing our ways to the Lord, whether we are delighting in the Lord. And then, key word, trust, is the word rest. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Okay? Wait patiently for Him. Now, these are all expressions of trust. See, if we were to pray, we were to believe, and we don't know how to rest in the Lord, you know what? We don't understand. We're just using the word without understanding the meaning of the idea of trust. So if you take this idea of trust and you split it up in several ways, you begin to realize what it is. One, okay, Lord, I commit my ways to you. Proverbs 3:5 ways. In all your ways, you know, we commit it to the Lord and we believe that He will bring it to pass. Same here. Right? So then we look at this. What am I going to do? I'm going to commit. Completely. Don't even. And then after, what do I need to do? I delight. And then I simply rest upon the Lord. That is the challenge. How can we rest upon the Lord? And then our part, Lord, I'm going to wait patiently for you. Whatever takes place now, I'm just going to wait patiently for you. And we are told again here, wait on the Lord. Keep His way. Verse 34. In due time, He will exalt you. That is the challenge. Right? So that is what we mean by the wicked is known by his activities, his thoughts, his words. The righteous, same, known by his activities, his thoughts, his words, the things that he practices. Now, here is the Lord on his part. He will observe, he will watch. And those who truly trust him, wait upon him, rest in him, commit, delight, that person will have the strength of the Lord in the time of trouble. That is our challenge. That is our hope. That is our faith in the Lord. Not an easy thing to do, but wonderful to be able. So it doesn't matter whether you are rich or you're poor. That's not a point. The world may divide it into poor or rich. In the earlier years, it was communist or non-communist. See, the political divides will change all the time. But the scriptures are very consistent. There is the wicked, the unrighteous, and there is the righteous, the upright, and those who wait upon the Lord. Right? And the ways, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He acknowledges, he delights in him, and the Lord will help this person. That's our challenge this morning as we come for worship. Let's choose the path of righteousness. Let's choose the path of uprightness. Let's choose to do all the things consistent with those who are righteous. Right? We trust, we commit, we rest, we delight. We just wait upon the Lord until he fulfills his word of promise to us. Let's be encouraged to do just that. Right? So during Chinese New Year time, share with people your faith in the Lord. Share with them what it means for you to believe and trust the Lord in all things. You never know what joy you can bring. You never know what encouragement you can bring to somebody's heart. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God and how clear it really is. We pray that you will teach us to reject the way of darkness, the way of the wicked. We pray that you will help us to choose the way of righteousness instead. And then trust that you will bring to pass the things we commit to you. We pray that you will help us to delight in you, to trust in you, to wait upon you patiently. And so we pray that you will bring to pass all that you have promised in your word. And as we give an offering, teach us to give out of a heart of love, of faith, of gratitude that you are our Lord. We ask you to bless us in Jesus' name.